If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Kinda Funny's doing an old school Patreon pledge drive all August long. If you like the content we've made in 2023, we'd like you to consider supporting us on patreon.com/kindafunny for the month. Just $10 would get you more than 300 exclusive episodes of shows like Kinda Feudy, Gregway, and more. We couldn't do this without you, so thank you for your support.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelaide Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma Button Geddes.
It's a Nintendo sales day, Bless.
It is. So it's my favorite day.
Of course, me and you got to be here. I also love that the cutoff date is June 30th, which is my birthday. Something about that just feels appropriate.
Isn't it weird how excited we get for Nintendo sales?
Just numbers.
Because I woke up and I saw that they were up today, and I'm like,
Where they go?
Where did Zelda Tears of the Kingdom come in? Is Animal Crossing number one yet, or is it still Mario Kart? Let's see. I get so excited for this. It's like probably one of the nerdiest things about me.
Honestly, it is weird how into it I am. And yeah, there's a couple big questions here. It's like, all right, what's the ranking of Pokemon going to look like? Mm-hmm. Is Animal Crossing capable of eclipsing Mario Kart?
Is it at all getting closer and closer?
Or did the Mario movie ensure that will never happen?
Ooh.
You know, getting Mario Kart even more in the public's eye. I don't know. We're going to have to wait to see. I haven't looked yet.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah. I wanted to keep it a little fun surprise for the show.
Hell yeah, Tim. Tim, before we even get in, how are you doing? How's your week been?
Good. It's been real good. It's been chaotic.
Yeah.
A couple power outages at the studio yesterday.
Yeah. Did we ever figure that out?
It was just power outage, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was anything.
No foul play.
No foul play. But yeah, we're down a ton of people. Joey's out. Kevin's out. Greg's out. And the power outage happened. I think because of the power outage, our gate won't open for our parking lot. So we're all in a state of disarray at this point. I had to park in a place I've never parked before, and
it's scary,
turned
right?
the wrong corner. You know, I was gonna get here. It was gonna be totally great, but now turned the wrong corner, started sprinkling a little, and I was like, "Man, this is a weird life right now."
This is those microclimates in San Francisco.
Microclimates.
Take one wrong turn, it's all of a sudden it's raining.
Yeah,
it's messed up. I got real lucky with my parking space because last time this happened, I had to park like down the street, probably about a 4-minute walk.
Wow.
But it was one of those things where that 4-minute walk was a journey.
Oh yeah.
Where I got out of my car, I had my Wendy's, I had my coffee. As I was walking, a dog barked at me from like behind a fence and scared me. Like I poured coffee on myself, and it was also raining at that same time. It was just a terrible time.
It was a scene.
It was a whole scene. This time, I got a nice little spot right across the street.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody pulled out as I was pulling in. I was like, let's go.
Wait, it was raining last time?
Yeah. Was it not?
No, I'm just wondering if that has something else to do with the gate.
Because
the gate worked after the power outages yesterday. Like, we were all able to leave last night. You know?
That's a good point.
You think it might be like a rain thing?
I don't know. I did get close enough to the box that moves the gate, where when I was pressing the clicker, the box did make a noise. Like, it was receiving a signal.
I heard, that same thing. When I put in the code, I heard like it accepted the code, but nothing happened. I tried moving the gate. Like shaking the gate, and Mike walked out, and I thought I was about to get in trouble.
It says don't do that.
Yeah, but like nobody was there. Kevin's not there to yell at me, and then Mike comes
out. Not there to shake it.
Exactly.
Somebody has to
shake the gate.
So Roger was the one that noticed this first, or at least was the first to notify the Slack channel, so we all knew. And then of course Kevin, even though he's on vacation, jumps in to try to solve some problems or just be an asshole.
Yeah.
He did a little bit of both, if you noticed. Mm-hmm. But at some point he told Rog, "Hey, can you like check the safety reflector, whatever?" And Rog just replies, "Gotcha, nothing blocking the reflector core." And it's just like, why are we just a bunch of fucking children? You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck is a reflector core?
Reflector core? That sounds like a weapon you'd unlock in Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Totally.
Bust out the reflector core. God. Well, Tim, Enough about our gate outside. Let's talk about Nintendo sales numbers, Baldur's Gate 3's early access impressions, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use our creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindafunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/KindaFunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, our Baldur's Gate 3 impressions are up right now. We have around 20 combined hours in the game, and we share all about our different experiences. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And then the stream team, speaking of Baldur's Gate 3, begins their immersive D&D adventure in BG3 after KFGD. Help them create their characters, forge their paths, and watch them accidentally murder important NPCs.
I heard them planning this yesterday, and oh my god, I think it's going to be... This is one you need to turn in for. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those ones that people in the office are going to have their headphones on listening to.
I'm very excited about that.
It's going to be hilarious, and I may or may not have seen a picture of a dick that changed me.
You know, I was, I guess now that we can talk about Baldur's Gate 3, I was making my character in that game at my desk, right? And I'm like going through the nitty gritty, going through all the options, making sure that I am tailoring that character to my needs. Mm. And I get to an option that is dick size, or not dick size, sorry. It was like, What do you want your genitals to look like? And they had a bunch of options. And I'm going to...
Excuse me, it didn't explicitly say dick size.
Yeah, it didn't say dick size. I'm projecting him. Mm-hmm. I'm going through the different options. And I'm like, wait, I can't see, like... I still have clothes on. I asked Greg about it because I'm like, Greg, did you encounter this? And he's like, go one option down. It'll let you take off the clothes so you can see the genitals. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. And so I do that. And as I'm doing that, my desk is located right next to the front door. So if somebody walks in, they immediately like see what's going on my monitor. And so Barrett comes in from outside, and I'm like, Barrett, don't leave my monitor. Don't leave my monitor. And, like, through my side view, I see Barrett kind of like glance at my monitor. I'm like, you just saw a dick on my monitor.
Yeah. Hey, man.
This isn't going to come back to bite me.
And, like, you didn't stop or anything. Like, you kept just, like, scrolling through dick options. So, like, there was a transition from one dick to another that really, really had me shook a little bit.
There's no rhyme or reason when you're scrolling through the presets.
Yeah.
They're not organized by shape or size. Or it's just random genital.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah. Which I appreciate it. Go play Baldur's Gate 3 if you're interested in that kind of thing. But also, if you're interested in Xbox, a new Kinda Funny XCast is up right now on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, talking all about Xbox at Gamescom and their biggest show yet. And then also on Kinda Funny Games, Baird Zelda in Review Part 2 is up right now in case you haven't seen it. Also, we're recording PS I Love You XOXO today, and Greg is gone. So me and Janet decided to take it easy this week and rank our top 10 PlayStation games of all time. You can come watch live this afternoon on Patreon or tune in tomorrow when it goes up for everyone.
Bless. How cool is it that we had shout outs in housekeeping for PC, PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox?
Listen, that's what do they call us? They call us platform agnostic poppies.
That's it. That's what they call us here. What they say all the time.
All the comments are very nice about that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney. Today we're brought to you by Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Somebody in chat says, where's the Nintendo podcast, though? Well, strap in. You got 3 Nintendo stories back-to-back starting off the show.
Boom,
Zelda drives record quarter for Switch with 18.5 million sales. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom drove a record quarter for Nintendo Switch, with the company confirming it sold 18.51 million units of the game as of June 30th, 2023. During the 3-month period, global sell-through of first-party software reached the highest level for a first quarter since the Nintendo Switch launched in 2017, the company claimed. The company also enjoyed a record first quarter profit of 185.4 billion yen, which is $1.294 billion, which is up 82% and surpasses the 2020 period when it released Animal Crossing New Horizons and the start at the start of COVID-19 lockdown boosted sales. Driven by Zelda, Nintendo shipped 3.91 million Switch units during the three-month period, short of the 5.68 managed in Q1 FY21, which is 13.9% year-on-year and brings the life-to-date total to 129.53 million.
Wow.
The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was released on May 12th and sold 10 million copies worldwide in its first 3 days, according to Nintendo. That made it the fastest-selling game in the history of the series and the fastest-selling Nintendo game for any system in Europe and the Americas. Nintendo said... Oh, yeah, I wonder what it is. Do you think it's Animal Crossing in Japan, probably?
I don't.
Wonder what that is.
Maybe?
If you have the answer in chat, kindoffunny.com, so if you're wrong. Nintendo said in its latest results that sell-through of this one title constituted approximately half of the first-party software sold this fiscal year.
Yep. Makes sense.
That's insane.
Yeah, man, that's Nintendo. So look, we're talking 129.53 million Switches out there.
Yeah.
That puts it at about 25 million away from taking over the DS family of systems, which is the number one at this point.
Do they count the DS and 3DS as like...
No. DS, DSi, DS Lite.
Oh, so OG DS was selling like that.
Yes.
God
yes.
Damn.
Well, and you know what's even crazier is thinking about the time frame of this, of like, obviously, we're talking about one of the most successful systems ever here with the Switch, and we're not done yet. So
yeah.
I want to have a conversation with you about like what's left. Like, can it actually get them bumps? It may be a sale on the Switch, like a price cut, maybe a new iteration of the Switch, like get some excitement out there.
That might be a story number three conversation.
Maybe.
Story number three is all about the games that are left on the Nintendo Switch.
I love this.
Though, let me tell you about the games.
Real quick, I just want to say the final point I have that I was thinking about, and I was looking at the sales of just older consoles before the story, and the Wii sold astronomical numbers.
Yeah.
At the same time as the DS.
Yeah.
So it's like, my God, we're talking about how successful Nintendo is at hardware sales, software sales now. And like, sure, the Switch is kind of just more condensed and we're getting more software like per IP, per title. Mm-hmm. But man, Nintendo was raking in them dollars the on the hardware side, both DS and Wii being the top of the console sales charts of all time at the same time.
Do you think we get back to that? Because... Now that you say that out loud, that is so lucrative. And you do get a lot of money by double dipping and by combining the Switch. I think Nintendo saved a lot of, I think, was just confusion and unnecessariness of like the Wii U and the 3DS and like the Wii U just not working out as a console. The Switch solves for that. But also, yeah, you're not getting the double dip of the handheld and console machine.
But I think the magic there is hardware sales result in less money for Nintendo and for PlayStation, for Xbox, all of them, right? To some extent, software doesn't.
Yeah.
So correct. If your software numbers are higher than they've ever been, which they are with the Switch, that means you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like we don't know the actual final numbers of like money being made. I don't, at least I don't. But from all accounts, Nintendo's doing its best now.
Yeah.
So I think that just kind of puts into perspective that hardware sales, having a higher number of sales doesn't necessarily mean more money.
Fair enough. Well, talking about software sales, we do have the top 10 best-selling Switch games listed by Nintendo as of June 30th, 2023. At number 10, we got New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe with 16.17 million units sold. At number 9, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Hold on, let's talk about these as we go up here. All because right. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, 16 million sold.
Yeah.
Like, we need to talk about that. A game that people don't like to talk about. Period. Mm. It's a Wii U thing. People totally write it off in every which way. This is a port of a Wii U 2D Mario game that was the fourth in the series of new games. There was the DS one. There was Wii. There was 3DS. New Super Mario Bros. 2 on DS. Yeah. And then this. The ordering of those last two might have been a little flipped. But regardless, this is one of four entries in this franchise. And it is a port 10 years later, 8 years later, 16 million sold.
Yeah, no,
Mario Wonder
best-selling
is going to destroy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, Mario Wonder, you imagine, hits at least 20 million.
I think so. I think easy.
Yeah, which is insane.
Insane.
And also insane considering that, like, New Super Mario, no, not New Super Mario, Mario 3D World came out also. And I believe that was, and this is maybe a year wrong, right? About a year or 2 years after this game came out. Somewhere around there, I want to say. And that came out with new content. That came out with a whole new mode. That came out with Bowser's Fury, which was basically like a new 3D Mario, right? A condensed version of a new 3D Mario. And that is still, that's not on this list. New Super Mario Brothers somehow outsells that.
The wildest thing here too is like only 10 games could be on this list.
Yeah.
So it's like underneath this, where is Mario 3D World? I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, because I think that information might be out there, but I imagine that, yeah, it's probably not that far down. But even still, the fact that New Super Mario Brothers U outsells that surprises me, because I'm somebody who would take 3D World any day over Mario Brothers U. No offense to Mario Brothers U. I think it's a fantastic game, but yeah, 3D World is so fucking good. But that's sitting at number 10. At number 9, we got the debut of The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom with 18.51 million units. So that is the number 9th best-selling Nintendo game on Switch. Only having been released a couple months ago.
Already the second best-selling Zelda game of all time.
Yeah.
Wild. Like, absolutely wild.
At number 8, we got Super Mario Party at 19.39 million.
Party. Not Mario Party Superstars.
Yeah.
Not the good one.
Super Mario Party. At number 7, which also, I guess that's another thing that surprised me a little bit, is that Super Mario, I don't know if I say it surprised me, but I'll think that Super Mario, Mario Party Superstars is probably somewhere high on the 11 through 20 range. If Super Mario Party is this high, I imagine Super Mario Party is here over that because it came out first.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this weird thing with Nintendo consoles in double dipping on the same game, right? Where you put out a second version of the same franchise and it doesn't do well unless you're talking about a Zelda or something like that. Right above that, at number 7, we got Pokemon Scarlet and Violet at 22.66 million. Right above that, at number 6, Pokemon Sword and Shield at 25.92 million units.
So, off the top of my head, this would put the only Pokemon games that have sold better than these as Red, Blue, and Yellow would be number 1. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Gold and Silver is somewhere in between the 22 and 26 of Scarlet, Violet, and Sword and Shield. So Scarlet, Violet is coming up. And I think by the next time we get updated info on this, we'll probably...
I mean, the DLC is going to move units.
Oh, yeah, dude. We have 2 rounds of DLC at least. And I think that they're going to use that to push this game hard, especially when right now... there's no Pokemon game this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got so many of them in recent times. Like, there was that back-to-back where we got Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and Legends Arceus. And then at the end of the year, we got Scarlet and Violet. So now we're kind of in this, like, weird lull. I've heard rumors of a Pokemon Presents coming up in the next couple weeks, so they could do anything. But I think that the DLC will be their big push this year.
For sure.
Which is going to boost the hell out of this. I do think it's going to eclipse Gold and Silver, wherever that is, and Pokemon Sword and Shield at the end of the day. But I don't know that it'll quite hit the numbers of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. It's slowing down.
Slowing down
as much as the game itself did.
Exactly. That's actually what I was going to get at, is the fact that Pokemon has so much power, that Pokemon Scarlet and Violet can have so much bad word of mouth and so much people making fun of it online and so much like shit thrown its way, most of it deservedly, and still sell 22 million units in less than a year. That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
That's like a level of dominance that like executives only dream of.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, hey, let's put out some shit and make it one of the best-selling things ever on the platform.
That's Pokemon wild. Scarlet and Violet will forever be like just the monkey paw for me.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's the dream.
And it's the game. It's the game that me and you love.
Love.
It's a crazy thing, right?
Love, like,
we
man.
Both had such a fantastic time with this game. You still have a fantastic time.
And I still fucking hate it, too.
Yeah.
I still fucking hate the tech problems.
Imagine this game if it came out perfect.
I can't.
It would be... it'd probably be top 3, I mean, right? It would legit, be doing Animal Crossing
I,
type
here's
numbers.
The thing, though. I do wonder, and we'll never know, how much better could it do if the game ran well? Would that actually affect it demonstrably? Or is it just fucking dominant? Because it's dominant and that's what it is.
I think it would. Like, I honestly think if Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which comes out as me and you's dream Pokemon game with a monkey's paw attached to it, I think without that monkey's paw... I think we are talking about it in the same way that people talk about Animal Crossing, where it is, yo, y'all got to play this. I think the actual word of mouth would carry it through in a way beyond even these 22 million sales. That's just this is the guess, right? But like, I have to imagine, because even Pokemon Sword and Shield, that was one that I feel like a lot of people played and were just like, yeah, it's more Pokemon. Like, we enjoy Pokemon, so we're going to play it and we're going to buy it, but it's more Pokemon, right? Like, I feel like the Pokemon... when was the last time a Pokemon game came out and it was fucking unanimously, yo, this is fucking incredible. Like, this is changing the game.
Yeah, I mean, it gets hard.
Because if you do one of those, it's like, that's gonna...
there's been, I feel like, a lot of those moments. I think X and Y was a big moment that, like, got people... there's the moments that get people back in.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And I think Sword and Shield got people back in. I guess it tends to just be the first one of the new generation.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But we'll see how this all shakes out.
Right above Pokemon Sword and Shield, you have Super Mario Odyssey sitting at 26.44 million. At number four, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at 30.65 million. Right above that, at number three, you have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at 31.77 million. And then above that, number two, Animal Crossing New Horizons, 42.79 million. And then right above that, at number one, of course, you got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 55.46 million.
Not even close. Look at those numbers. Yeah. Animal Crossing 42, Mario Kart 55.
I mean, if you look at the like additional numbers here, since March 2023, right? So you're talking about it in that 3 month period. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe sold 1.67 million more units, and Animal Crossing New Horizons only did 0.58 more million more units, right? And so you're talking about a full million more for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe above Animal Crossing. And that what is, of happened? Course, Mario movie.
100%. Super Nintendo World. There is a built-in marketing system now that Nintendo has with its IP outside of video games that will boost its IP. We've seen it a million times with The Witcher, with The Last of Us. But now Nintendo,
yeah,
the most mainstream mass market video game company there is able to pull on even new levers to create new sales, a new audience for one of the highest selling video games.
Not to mention like DLC waves now, right? After this game was dead for a little bit, they've been putting out DLC waves, which give people more reason to want to go out and buy this thing. Animal Crossing, they stopped doing those updates, which I'm sure, brings that down quite a bit. Nintendo is treating Mario Kart in the Mario franchise, I'd say, right now, right? Like they're taking advantage of that IP power. I mean, I'm so curious to see, maybe it's when the Switch 2 comes out or like whatever the next console is, maybe we get an Animal Crossing New Horizons Deluxe and we get another five waves of DLC and then you see sales come in that way. Like they can treat their games like this and it's going to be successful for them, right? They're going to get millions and millions of sales on top of it because the cores of these games are so fucking good. But yeah, Nintendo sales, man.
Yeah, and wow. You know, I think something that we're not talking about enough here is the fact that Animal Crossing, every single time we talk about it, and every time we will talk about it in the future, we always talk about it in relation to COVID. We always talk about it as like this massive success that was right place, right time. Quality of game was great. Everyone loves the franchise too. It's not just that it was COVID. But I think that when you start looking at these sales numbers, video games are just in an insane place today.
Oh, yeah.
Years after COVID first popped off and everyone was stuck at home. So this is interesting to look at, not only Tears of the Kingdom, which obviously is the big blockbuster. Like Tears of the Kingdom is a blockbuster game release on the level that we rarely see.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you could probably say there have been in history of video games, 20 game launches that had that much oomph behind them and expectation behind them in terms of critical reception and sales and all of that. And then they did it. So for one of those to immediately break into the top 10, but then you look at all these games that have a couple of them been out since like the beginning of the Switch, but otherwise it's kind of a real nice representation of the Switch's library over the last couple of years, consistently putting out high quality titles people actually want, and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet that come out, sell well to begin with, but then these numbers on the right that are just the additional sales in the last 3 months, they're wild.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about 500,000 like on the low side here for it advancement in sales figures for old games in the last 3 months on the Switch.
Like looking at Super Mario Party sold 350,000 in that 3 month period.
Yeah.
Y'all are out here buying Super Mario Party. Mario Party Superstars is out there and it's better. And y'all are buying Super Mario Party. It's fucking bonkers. But yeah, that is the power of Nintendo. That is the power of their IP. And speaking of the power of their IP, story number two, Mario Movie is also killing it. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Zelda wasn't the only big contributor to Nintendo's bottom line. The April 5th release of the Super Mario Bros. Movie was enormous. Nintendo said as of July 30th, a whopping 168.1 million people worldwide have now seen the movie. And as of July 26th, global box office revenue hit $1.349 billion. That's the highest ever for an original film based on a video game, and the second highest for an animated film. Quote, "This is helping us build a lasting affection for our Super Mario IP around the world," Nintendo said. The success of the Mario movie had the knock-on effect of growing sales of Mario games, such as Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Mario merchandise. The eternally popular Mario Kart racer shifted another 1.67 million sales during the quarter and has now sold an eye-watering 55.46 million units. Eye-watering is a really good way to put it. Quote, by expanding Nintendo IP in areas outside the dedicated video game platform, we create new opportunities for consumers to encounter Nintendo IP. And this invigorates our overall business, Nintendo said. They continue, based on the various effects that we have confirmed through the release of this movie, we will continue our efforts towards visual content-related initiatives, end quote. Tim, we're getting that Zelda movie. It's happening.
Oh, yeah, we're getting it all, man. I don't think any of this is a surprise, but I, except for the fact that they said the number 168.1 million people have watched this movie.
Yeah.
That's just weird. We normally don't get stats like that that are potentially, probably combining streaming numbers and box office numbers combined into eyeball numbers for them. So that it's just a pretty wild, wild way to think about it. Like, that is a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Watching an entire
That's a percentage of planet Earth.
Yes, yes.
It's a small percentage, yeah, but the fact that it's a percentage is not crazy.
It feels a little intrusive that they know that number. I don't know
why. It's like, how y'all know? How'd y'all figure that out?
Yeah, that's insane. And 1.349 billion, that's insane.
It's a lot of money.
For movies, period. Yeah. Again, it being the second highest animated film ever, behind Frozen 2, I want to say.
Yeah.
Frozen.
What? I mean... Long term, what does this do for Nintendo? Does Nintendo end up becoming the next Pixar? Like, not even just Pixar of video games, but Pixar of the movie space, right?
I don't think the next Pixar is the right analog there, because I feel like Pixar is such a unique thing. Like, we understand what that means. I think it is going to define Illumination's voice a little bit more, I think.
Do we want Nintendo to keep going with Illumination for this?
Absolutely not.
I mean, I feel like it's out of the...
It's just going to happen now?
That's where we're at. Like, do we want it? I mean, like, no. There's a bunch of things I'd rather than that. Having said that, with what the Mario movie was, I don't think that they are the worst partners like I did before we saw that movie or first started seeing anything about that movie. At the end of the day, they're just a production studio, right? It's about the teams working on it. It's about who's making this, the vision behind it all. So I feel like we've had surprises from everyone. I mean, look at Puss in Boots last year with DreamWorks. Like, who the fuck thought DreamWorks had that in them? Those talented people.
Lot of people, because DreamWorks movies, like, secretly kick ass.
Some of them. And I would say, like, a minority of them, and that is true, but that's kind of my point, is, like, it's who are the people. I don't think that, oh, Illumination sucks. I think that there are teams at Illumination that have kind of made fairly cookie-cutter things or very specific money-making things. Yeah. Where
but,
it's
like that works for Mario, though, is the thing.
Right? 100%.
Maybe not Zelda.
And that's the interesting thing here. I assume that Nintendo is going to keep doubling down on Illumination for future film projects, at least for the near future. I think Illumination fits really well for Mario. I would personally want Nintendo to take, like, what we talk about with Marvel games of, hey, find the best studio for the job for each of these individual projects, right? Does Nintendo want to put that amount of effort and work into it? Does Nintendo even want to take the risk of being like, all right, now let's go to somebody else when somebody else might mess up what Illumination got right the first time? But man, yeah, if you were to go, all right, Illumination, you're Mario. Hey, other studio over here, you do Zelda. Hey, you over here, you do Metroid. I think there could be something interesting in that.
Oh, yeah.
But also, will Nintendo do that is the question. Probably not, right? Yeah, you probably just double down on Illumination.
Yeah, I think it's about partnership. Again, it's about care and vision. Like, is Miyamoto going to be as involved in these future things as he was with the Mario movie? Like, I think that's kind of the big question. Of, like, he clearly has moved on from games to an extent where he is focusing on this expansion into theme parks, into movies, and kind of leading that vision. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they do kind of cherry pick, like, studios for projects, whether it's live action or animated or anything in between. I just think that being realistic of the pipeline of these things, I feel like we're going to get more Illumination projects than anything else in the foreseeable future. Having said that, there's also the Pokemon side of things, right? With Detective Pikachu coming out, that had nothing to do with Illumination. That was a completely different company. So they clearly are willing to try different things. And even that, I think Legendary Pictures got shifted around. Like, there's a lot out there. I think that especially on the face of animation at this point is changing. And we are seeing a shift towards like new styles as opposed to like just the same cookie cutter look. And even that goes back to, I think, Sony Pictures, everyone cites Spider-Verse, obviously. Yeah. But like even looking at the Peanuts movie from a couple years before that, like having that style that looks a bit more stop motion claymation. Yeah. But
I mean, I think there's a lot of examples now. Like Scoob, there's TMNT, there's Nimona that Puss I just watched Boots on Netflix. Yeah. Like Puss in Boots, yeah.
And it feels like that all kind of like started with Fantastic Mr. Fox as well, like way back, like a decade ago.
Yeah, I mean, that being explicitly stop motion stuff. But I feel like with that, we're seeing, I just have more faith in all of the big animation studios at this point than I ever have before, where hearing about any of them doesn't make me go, oh, it's not going to be good.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, even at this point, hearing it's going to be Pixar doesn't make me think it's going to be good.
I mean, yeah.
So it's like everything's kind of,
and I guess for you, like when I bring up even the Pixar comparison, I guess I'm more so talking about the IP of the IP presence in this space, because when you ask me about movie animations, right, I immediately think about Disney. I think about Pixar, right? It's like in terms of the IPs, the Incredibles, the Finding Nemo, like that kind of thing. I'm looking at the success of the Mario movie, it being the second best highest grossing animated movie of all time, or like the fastest grossing, whatever they used. I could see a case where it's, oh, I'm thinking about Toy Story, I'm thinking about, I don't know, Aladdin, and I'm thinking about Mario.
I mean,
right?
It could happen. And I think that has been building a little bit for a while now. But when the last couple movies I've watched in theaters, there's a trailer for a duck movie. I don't know what it's called. Go West, I imagine.
Okay.
Pull that out of my ass. But it's about a bunch of ducks, okay?
And they're hibernating. I've not seen this.
Not hibernating. Migrating. Bears hibernating.
I was gonna say, ducks don't hibernate. They migrate. Are you sure they were ducks?
They're mallards of some sort.
Okay.
So they're fucking flying. Who gives a
it's
shit?
It's called migration.
But you go to New York. It's some migration. It's called migration. There we go. We, as it starts, it's Illumination. It's like from the studio that brought you, you know,
yeah.
Minions. The Super Mario Brothers movie, like they are trying to create that identity, and like they've been doing it. Like, I not to take away from Illumination, not my cup of tea for things, but
like Despicable Me,
the Minions, like they got their shit. You talking about like when we're talking IP, that's
true.
Fucking IP,
that's
man.
True,
and they were bringing in bank with those movies, and they continue to. So, I do think that being at Illumination is a very healthy place for them to be in terms of marketability and growing it, so that Mario is more than just a video game and is a household name in the sense of movies and TV and all that stuff, even more than he already has been.
Mm-hmm. Tim, of course, Nintendo got IP. Pixar got IP, but also Kind of Funny has IP, because we got shows like Kind of Feudy, you got the Next Gen Podcast and more over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, and also on patreon.com/kindoffunny you can go and get shows like this ad free. Speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Did you know it only takes a few seconds to get it? That means if you go to add it to your laptop or iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad read is even over. And you know what else works fast? Honey's deal finding abilities. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears. All you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that, and then if it finds a working coupon, you will find the prices drop. We've saved thousands of dollars thanks to Honey, buying costumes, props, tech over the years. Honestly, not using Honey is just silly. Honey doesn't just work on desktop, it works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and you get to save on the go. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds, and by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures, just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Before we even get to story number three, if you were part of Nintendo and you were tasked with finding a studio to make a Zelda movie, what comes to mind? Because, like, after watching, I just watched this movie, Nimona. I've talked about it quite a bit already. And, like, I think that studio would be good. I don't know the exact name of the studio. I think it might be, like, Double Negative, from what I can see. But it was published by Annapurna, and also it was distributed by Netflix. And if you haven't seen Nimona, go watch that movie. It's a good-ass movie. But also has a distinct art style. I think has, like, a good tone and a good vibe for this world that they've built, which is, like, not necessarily fully fantasy, but it's fantasy adjacent. Like, one of the main characters is a druid. But yeah, that's the studio that I think could rock it. But it's hard to think about, like, who would make a good Zelda movie.
Yeah, I personally feel like the best answer would be, like, the most generic answer is Ghibli, right? And, like, that'd be awesome, but it just doesn't feel like it.
That doesn't feel like a thing that could happen.
Yes, exactly. But if it did, I mean, that's the answer, period. Hard stop. But I do think my answer would be I would go to an A24 and I would be like, y'all figure it out. I would trust. I would trust that people would find something. I feel like in a perfect world, in my mind, it's animated. But like I feel like it needs an artistry to it, and it needs a passion and a creative vision that comes from a very unique place. Like, that Zelda deserves that, in my opinion. But I don't necessarily know that I have the answer of, like, oh, this team, let's do them. Like, there's not a one-to-one for me.
See, I think it's a tough thing of, it'd be so cool to see a Zelda that is, an A24 done with an artistic touch. Like, is very, hey, this is such a unique thing that we're speaking to, like, critics, and we're speaking to people who love film with a Zelda thing. I don't think a Zelda movie can realistically be that, right? Because I think that works, that might work on the video game level to some extent. On the, hey, we're Nintendo, we're translating this inherently, like, family-friendly thing to a movie audience, I feel like you got to water it down and make it a bit more, like, fun, or, like, I don't know the word I'm looking for. Like, almost Ghibli-ish, right? Like, there's got to be a level of kids are going to fucking love this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can do that and do what you're talking about.
Then there's the other side, though, which is just straight up, just give me the Green Knight. I just want the exact same team that made the Green Knight to make a live action Zelda, and then just make the Green Knight, essentially.
Yeah, just make the Green Knight.
Have you seen the Green Knight? You should watch the Green Knight.
I have seen the Green Knight. I hate the Green Knight. I hated that movie with everything. But I was gonna say I respect it. I don't even need to say that. I just say I did not like that movie.
Fucking fire.
Baron, you know, I saw you pop up. Oh, you're right there.
Yeah, I'm right here because the answer that I've been saying for years is Genndy Tartakovsky, who has made Samurai Jack and Primal.
Ooh,
and all
of
his fucking kick-ass. And if you're talking about Green Knight, Tim, someone who could do animated Green Knight, is that man and his team right there.
Mm. That'd be dope. I mean, I'd be signing
that
me
is
up
the
for that,
only
for sure.
answer to me.
That'd be sick as hell.
Not Illumination. Get him out of here. They fit for Mario, not for Zelda.
An Illumination Zelda would be fucking hilarious.
Dude, Zelda could be so many things, man. I feel like Illumination can do a Wind Waker and nail it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If Illumination was to do it, I think it would have to be a Wind Waker or a more cartoony take on Zelda. But hey, we'll see. For now, story number three, we're still on Nintendo. Nintendo still has Metroid Prime 4 down as a Switch game. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Nintendo has outlined upcoming Nintendo Switch exclusives and still lists the long-absent Metroid Prime 4 as a Switch game. As part of its latest financial report, Nintendo listed all the upcoming and announced games coming to the Nintendo Switch. Notably, the list includes Metroid Prime 4, which still carries a, quote, temp title and TBA release date. Here's the list in full. So you got Detective Pikachu Returns, that's coming October 6th. Super Mario Bros. Wonder, that's October 20th. WarioWare Move It, that's November 3rd. Super Mario RPG, November 17th. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, that's coming in 2024. Princess Peach will star as the main character in a brand new game. That's coming 2024. Don't forget about that. And then Metroid Prime 4 is just listed as TBA.
You know, Nintendo is so unique in the way that they'll just announce games like Princess Peach will star in a game, and just we see a second of it, and then we may or may not ever hear about that game again. Mm. Like, I swear to God, there's been this exact type of announcement for Kirby and Yoshi multiple times in the last like 15 years. And then maybe we get a game, or maybe it comes out on the following console or whatever, like what happened with Kirby. But this is a pretty banger lineup of kind of the what's left, but then also a 2D fucking Mario.
Yeah.
Right? And then Super Mario RPG, I'm really interested in what that can do sales-wise. I know the quality of the game. It looks like they're being faithful enough that there's no reason to believe that it's not going to be an incredible game. So with that, you look at the RPG side of Mario games, and they're not on these like record-breaking lists, no. Right? The Paper Marios, Mario RPG, Mario and Luigi series. I guess that Mario and Luigi did pretty well on DS, but I'm interested to see if Super Mario RPG can come out and cross and do like Luigi's Mansion 3 numbers, which is always like a big surprise where it's like you wouldn't expect Luigi's Mansion 3 to have been like a juggernaut on the Switch, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure it's at like 9 or 10 million sold,
huh.
Which like put that in comparison, like it's not that far off of the top 10.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see. With what this lineup is, it'd be pretty sweet if next year we were able to get Metroid Prime 4 and that becomes the swan song to the Switch. I personally doubt it. You know, I think them having to restart that game in 2019 puts it in this weird place of, I just don't expect to see it on the Switch anymore. I think that was kind of their, hey, just so you know, this is happening. So if you're somebody who is like, you know, anticipating this thing real hard, we'll see when this thing comes out, right? Like Metroid Prime 4 seems like such a, yeah, we're figuring this out, and until they re-reveal it, that's when it's on a timer again for me.
Yeah,
that's when I start counting down the days.
I think that's fair, but I do think the fact that it's on like being talked about here like this, mm-hmm. it's like it's top of mind, right? And I guess that this is just all the games that you've
mentioned.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing is these are all the games they have announced.
Yeah, so
where's Donkey Kong, the 2D one?
Which, I mean, they never announced it, right?
Where's the 3D one?
And I feel like potentially that, I don't know, I'm so torn on Metroid Prime 4 where strategically, I think to give it the best chance at success, it should be the swan song of the Switch.
Yes.
You know, built-in audience that we've just talked about, how many Switches are out there. Awesome game. People now have been reintroduced to Samus in the Metroid franchise with both Dread, which was incredible and sold very well, and then Metroid Prime Remastered, which I don't think we have numbers on. They didn't talk about it here.
Mm-hmm.
But that coming out, obviously Prime being back on people's minds, but not getting the biggest push ever. They kind of just dropped it, and that was it. I'm starting to believe more than ever that it's going to come out next year and be the Switch's final big game.
I really hope so. For now, We're going to keep talking about sales numbers. This is story number four. We have up-to-date Resident Evil 2 sales numbers. This is directly from Shinobi on Twitter. That's the homie, at Shinobi602, who tweeted out, Resident Evil 2 Remake has passed over 12.6 million copies sold, making it the best-selling game in the franchise. Shinobi then tweets to a page that I didn't know existed. It's Capcom's like business page, which shows the sales of pretty much every Capcom game. Right. So you go through like the 1 through 10 and they show like how many units sold for each of these games. And so like if I was to count down from number 10 to one, right, number 10, you got Street Fighter V with 7.3 million units. Above that, you got Resident Evil 3 at 7.6 million.
Remake,
which is surprising to me. Right above that, at number 8, Resident Evil Village. Above that, you have Resident Evil 6. Above that, Resident Evil 5.
Resident Evil, baby.
Yeah. Right above that, number 5, you got Monster Hunter World Iceborne. Right, which they count differently. And right above that, number 4, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. At number 3, Resident Evil 2. At number 2, Monster Hunter Rise. God damn it. At number 1, Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter Rise at number 2.
Yeah.
Never would have thought that. That's actually incredible for them. And look, this tells such a story, right? Capcom is Resident Evil, but it's also Monster Hunter, baby. Yep.
I mean, it might be more Monster Hunter than Resident Evil, right? When you look at it.
Look at those numbers, right? Like, that's nuts, man. And think about this. We heard that they have a game that they're planning to sell millions of copies coming out in the next, 9 months or something like that? It's going to be the next Monster Hunter.
For sure.
That's going to be the number one. Like, I think that easily it's going to become the next Monster Hunter will become Capcom's number one best-selling game.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. It's fun to just look at these numbers, too, because, number 11, you got Devil May Cry 5 at 7.2 million units. I think that game might deserve a little bit more sales than that.
Hey, Barrett, can you control F Onimusha for me? I want to see where my boy Samonosuke is.
It's weird because you have to like, all the pages are different because it's separated by 1 through 10 and then 11 through 30 and then 31 through 50. And I don't see a search function. And so it might be hard to find Onimusha. You might just have to.
Well, if you just control F, right?
Oh, wait, no, there's a tab that says all. If you go to the top, there's one that says all. Yeah. That's small. We can't read it, Barrett. If you can read it to us, maybe.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. I guess I could also do it myself.
Onimusha 2, Samurai's Destiny at 51 with 2.10.
2.10
million. Oh, my
million.
God. That is absolutely wild. And then Onimusha 1 at number 55 with 2.02 million. This is so fun.
I love seeing these. I love that they have all these numbers just visible.
And dude, this is something that me and you have talked about a lot because we always talk about these Nintendo numbers.
Yeah.
But like when we go back to old games and like Chrono Trigger, like you'd expect that thing sold tens of millions of copies the way people talk about it. No, it didn't. It's like this. Like it's wild that some of the most iconic games of that generation sold 1 million copies. And now we're talking about Resident Evil 2 Remake, 12.6 million.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, dude, this is really fun to look through. There's a lot of Monster Hunter at the top of this list, let me tell you. It's all Monster Hunter and Resident Evil.
That's all they did.
With some Devil May Cry's sprinkled lightly in there. DMC Devil May Cry sold 2.90, which sounds about right, honestly. Dino Crisis, 1999, sold 2.40.
Mega Man X, 1.16.
Lost Planet 2, 2.1 million. Good for you, Lost Planet
2.
Good for you. Story number 5, Baldur's Gate reviews in progress are in. Pretty much any review you look at online right now is in progress because, of course, we only got the code for this game a couple days ago, and it's like a 100-hour game, if that is probably longer than that. But we're going to start off with Leanna Hafer at IGN, who says, on the whole, I really am loving Baldur's Gate 3 so far. It definitely has some blemishes from minor bugs to a combat system that I don't exactly adore at lower levels. But I've been waiting 14 years for another alignment of the planets like Dragon Age Origins, when an old school CRPG got a big enough budget to look like a high quality animated movie. But the design hadn't been completely steered in the wrong direction in a misguided attempt to reach a different market like the later two Dragon Ages. This is the closest anyone has ever come to recapturing that magic. Fraser Brown at PC Gamer says, the good news is that so far, this is an absurdly impressive CRPG. My dream CRPG, really. As I fought, stolen, and sang, yes, I'm a bard, my way through the Forgotten Realms, it's felt like I've been playing the greatest hits, the best parts of Ultima, Baldur's Gate, Planescape Torment, Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura, Pillars of Eternity, Divinity Original Sin 2, Divinity Original Sin, all of the heavy hitters. Here are a few of my highlights. I'm becoming BFFs with an extremely theatrical vampire. I recently adopted an owlbear cub. I've embarked upon a complicated romantic relationship with a tiefling who's very touch kills thanks to the infernal engine encased in her chest. I've replaced my eyeball with an artifact that lets me detect invisible enemies. I consistently talk to the dead and animals, the latter of which are always a laugh. I've put on countless impromptu musical performances for gold and applause. I've caused more accidental deaths than Agent 47. I found several excellent hats. Basically, ooh, I'm having a whale of a time. And then Paul Kelly at PC Games End says, Baldur's Gate 3's world is beautiful, layered, and complex, and challenges you to attack it how you want. And though this is what makes it a little daunting, it's also what makes me eager to dive back in and see where the adventure is going.
Dude, I am so impressed at our Gamescast we did yesterday, where it was me hosting, talking to you, Andy, and Greg about your experience with this game. And mm-hmm. I just love it how rare it is to see people kind of try out a new experience that they've never really done, this type of RPG for the three of you. Mm-hmm. And seeing you guys kind of fall in love with some things, but then also be kind of scared of others. Like, you, it was funny hearing you. I've talked to you guys about your thoughts on video games for years, hundreds of times, but there was something unique about it where you were almost like, you didn't want to criticize it. You wanted to criticize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah.
This combat system, I don't think I get it. I don't like it, but I don't think I get it. You know what I mean? And it was just really funny, 'cause it's like, I really felt like you guys were entranced by the experience somewhat of mm-hmm. it, like being this like, wow, this is what a role-playing game is. Like,
yeah.
Like, we've played RPGs forever, but now motherfuckers are role-playing.
Yeah, and I think that it's just the fact that it's a game that is as deep and complex as a Baldur's Gate 3 that we're jumping into. Because, like, yeah, I'm somebody who, I am not a CRPG person. Like, the only one before this that I really got into would have been Disco Elysium, and that's a way different kind of game, right? That's a game that is way more, like, there's like barely any combat in Disco Elysium. It's all pretty much conversation and reading and text and all these things. And I got so into that, but also it was 30 hours. And so it was this digestible thing that I could actually like see my way through. This though is so, oh, you are playing a D&D game, right? And it's that, I think for us reviewing, right, it's that balance of us coming in as somewhat newcomers to the genre, wanting to come in and be able to talk about it authentically and give our own criticisms and our own experiences with it, but also respect what it is, right? And also respect the parts of it that aren't for us. And that's what makes reading other reviews fun, of seeing IGN Leanna Hafer here, right, talk about the combat system also not being for her, and me being like, okay, thank God. It's not just me.
Totally.
Right? It's not just us that aren't super into the combat system. Like, there's something there that, you know, maybe, and she mentions lower levels specifically, right? There's something there that I think resonates between all of us there with the combat system. But yeah, it's really cool to see people get their hands on it. It's really cool also to see this big reaction and this big wave of people getting into this game that for most of us here usually flies under our radars. Mm-hmm. It's fun having this group experience of, hey, we got a little bit of time to check this thing out. Let's all play it, talk about it, see what it's about, and come away from it, I think, having our third eye opened a little bit of, oh, this is what this thing is. This is really cool. I appreciate this.
And with that too, I feel like we always talk about games having their moments or getting robbed of their moments based on release date and what's surrounding it, and just the way that we in the industry play these games and like just have the ability to do that. They pushed up the release date for this, right? Yeah. Like, that is such a rare thing, but it's cool that they did that knowing what's coming forward. It also results in review codes coming in days before for 100 hour RPG, but they explicitly explained that before.
Oh, for sure.
So
there's that thing of, you understand, you know, it's different from when Cyberpunk is coming up and we get that code like a few days before, like a week before, and you hear about how long this game is, how many hours that the devs put in and all these things, and you have all these built up expectations for it, and you get the code a week before and there's like, oh, by the way, there's a day one patch, oh, by the way, there's this thing, and you're playing and you're like, oh, what's going on here? Baldur's Gate, them pushing up the date a month already, I'm like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I would like a code way earlier, but I get not having a code, right? The fact that they're also very communicative of, hey, also, yeah, there's this early access thing. You're not going to be able to preload because early access, that doesn't work that way, yada, yada. I think they handled it the right way, and I think there's this understanding of what it is and why things are set up the way they are. But yeah, hopefully with Starfield, we don't get the code 3 days early. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oof.
Also, I think I saw Barrett walk out. I did send a video to Barrett, maybe we can watch it a bit later in the show, of a scene somebody posted on Twitter that I was telling you about during the break.
Yeah.
But like,
you sure you want to watch it?
We can do a content warning. I don't know. It's a hilarious scene.
Okay. If you're saying it's hilarious, you described it, you made it sound scarier than hilarious, but
it's a bit of both. But okay. We can get there when we get there. Oh, Barrett has it pulled up here. So somebody tweeted out, they're like, oh yeah, here's my first time talking to an animal in Baldur's Gate 3, which the game lets you do, right? The game just lets you talk to animals. Barrett took it off because I think Barrett wants to watch it because he doesn't trust me.
No, I'm not getting audio.
Oh, right, okay.
Give me a second.
I mean, there's subtitles, so I don't think we need audio. But you can figure that out. As you figure that out, I'm going to read story number 6 real quick. Hideo Kojima rewrote Death Stranding 2 from scratch after the pandemic. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. Kojima has explained why he had to completely rewrite Death Stranding 2 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. After the first trailer for the game was shown at the Game Awards 2022, Kojima spoke on stage and revealed that he had to rewrite the game's story, but was vague as to the reasons for this. Quote, I had the story written before the pandemic, but after experiencing the pandemic, I just rewrote the whole story from scratch, he said at the time. I also didn't want to predict the future anymore, so I rewrote it. Now, in a new interview with a Japanese entertainment news site...
Stop! We just got a Kojima quote. I want to get this tattooed on my body, bless. I also didn't want to predict any more future, so I rewrote it. I know he's talking about the game, but it makes it sound like he's rewriting the future.
Could you imagine? He's like, really, he's come to realize after Metal Gear Solid 2, and let's just say after all of his fucking video games, he's realized that he has this power, and he's like, actually, no, Death Stranding 2 is going to some fucked up places. Let's create a happy ending for not only Death Stranding, but for the world.
Oh,
the
my real world.
Hey, he's talked about this before too, right? Like, whatever. At home, like Game Awards thing, I think. Like when he was talking to Keeley at one point, he was like, "Yeah, man, the pandemic. Like we did Death Stranding, and then the pandemic happened, and delivery people were really important. I need to really rethink how I write my games."
Yeah, I want Kojima to like write a story about like, oh, man, there's food for everyone, and like, you know, Elon Musk isn't being an idiot anymore, and. You know, we get a good president. Like, just write a story where everything's nice, Kojima, you know?
Yeah.
Just write that story. Now, in a new interview with Japanese entertainment news site, Natalie, Kojima gives more information on the impact of the pandemic and what it had on his interpretation of the story. Quote, before the pandemic, I'd actually already conceived the narrative for Death Stranding 2, Kojima said. And then, quote, wait, what? Asked his interviewer, Japanese pop star Nochi. Quote, but Death Stranding came out right on the brink of COVID-19. I was under the impression that Death Stranding 2's plot was developed with the pandemic in mind, end quote. Quote, not exactly, Kojima replied. However, I love that this article does not explain why he's talking to a Japanese pop star.
Why not, dude? It's Kojima. He's living his life.
However, when the pandemic did strike, it led us to restructure the entire script. In Death Stranding, we championed the act of connection. But as the pandemic took hold, digital connections like remote work gained prominence. I also realized that the digital connections alone couldn't satisfy human needs. We are inherently explorers. He added, quote, right now, we're dealing with seclusion and division, and the world is undergoing significant transformations. We can't rewind to our pre-pandemic reality, so we've had to reassess the concept of connection. In Death Stranding 2, the interpretation of Strand evolves. You'll notice at the end of the teaser trailer, a message that says, should we have connected? That's the crux of what we're trying to articulate in the sequel, end quote.
Remember when there was a time when a week couldn't pass without somebody having a conversation of, does Death Stranding exist?
Yeah.
Is it could it even be real?
What is Death Stranding?
Are we already playing Death Stranding? Like, what is that? And then it came out, and people love it.
Yeah.
We did it, and now there's a sequel.
And then a year later, we did play it in real life.
It's wild. It's just wild that, like, Kojima did that shit. Not for everybody. Not even for me.
Yeah.
But, hey,
it was for me. I fucking love that game.
Death Stranding 2. Where are you at with it? Is it like I am fucking hyped for it? Or is it more like it's going to come and I'm going to play it?
For me, it's going to come and I'm going to play it, right? Like, Death Stranding, I really enjoyed Death Stranding 1. It wasn't Metal Gear for me, right? And I think that's the difference of Kojima making Metal Gear as something that is going to speak to a wide audience, something that's going to be a hit, you know, a mainstream success, right? Metal Gear Solid is one of the biggest names in gaming versus Death Stranding, which feels like Kojima going, I'm going to make art. I'm going to make the thing that I want to make, and nobody's going to tell me a thing about it. Not even PlayStation, who's publishing the game. Well, I'm going to make this game in seclusion and make it fucking weird and make it this specific thing. And I enjoyed it for what it was. I enjoyed it as a work of art. I enjoyed it as a, oh, I'm going to sit and really like, I played it in full a year ago when it, when the Steam Deck came out?
Deck boys.
And so I played it during slash like late pandemic period, and getting to play that game while reflecting on the pandemic and reflecting on the themes and how those themes really hit with, I guess, that time in my life and our lives and what we're going through really hit different. It was, and I would say is a thing that was very special for me. Death Stranding 2, I've come down on Kojima games where, especially now, where I'm going to go in with zero expectation. Mm-hmm. Because if I go into Death Stranding 2 thinking that it's going to be the same as Death Stranding 1, I'm pretty sure I'll be disappointed, because I'm sure Kojima is probably going to take a left turn. You're not delivering boxes anymore. Now you're shooting. Like, now it's actually, we're back to a third-person shooter. Or no, now this is going to be a skateboarding game. You know, Death Stranding 2 can be anything. And so I'm going into it just knowing that I'm going to get something that's Kojima. And that's enough for me.
Should we have connected?
That's the other question.
I just don't know.
Story number 7, our final news story. The Callisto Protocol studio lays off 32 employees. This is Andy Chalk at PC Gamer. Less than 2 months after releasing the Callisto Protocol's first and last story expansion DLC, developer Striking Distance Studios has laid off 32 employees. As noted by VGC, the layoffs first came to light after numerous employees reported being let go by the studio. Striking Distance parent company Krafton later confirmed with IGN that a total of 32 employees had been terminated. That's a not insignificant percentage of the studio's total headcount, which according to Striking Distance's About Us page, currently sits at 144 employees in all. Quote, Striking Distance Studios and Krafton have implemented strategic changes that realign the studio's priorities to better position its current and future projects for success, Krafton said. They continue, unfortunately, these changes have impacted 32 employees. Honoring the invaluable contributions of each departing team member with material support in the form of outplacement services and meaningful severance packages is our top priority during this difficult moment, end quote. Always obviously, unfortunate.
So unfortunate. And, it sucks that these stories just keep happening week after week. More layoffs. This one specifically, though, I think is really unfortunate because these studios that we've been hearing about that are the, hey, like a known entity, a known quantity of a studio has left. They're starting their own studio. You know them from this game. We're building a team. We're trying to do stuff. We're trying to diversify the AAA space with the knowledge that we have and all this to like do something and not have to be EA, Ubisoft, Activision, right? And for the games to come out, and we're talking about Callisto Protocol here.
Yeah,
I'd say that the overall take on it was that it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
And that results in it not performing as well as it needs to be able to not only maintain these people, but then grow and continue further projects. Like, I just feel like this is it's scary out there as we see games ballooning bigger and bigger and bigger in that AAA space, that we're seeing a lot of evidence here that there might not be a sustainable model for making those AAA games unless you do have those giant budgets behind you to be able to push, which is all kind of coming from the live service games that we keep talking about, not wanting more of, not being able to maintain more of. But what happens when Apex Legends stops making as much money as it is?
Yeah.
Do we stop seeing investment in the Jedi Survivors out there? The games that sell super well, that are critically acclaimed, but if the money's not right, it's unsustainable, and we're going to continue to get more laughs and all of that. But these smaller studios, like, I want to see them succeed. I'm rooting for them.
That's the thing is, you want to see them succeed so that they can make these passion projects or projects that exist beyond the what we're getting from big AAA publishers. Because you look at Ubisoft, you look at anybody, any of these big publishers, and most of the time you're seeing a shift toward, we got to make live service, we got to make online. Even PlayStation, you're seeing that shift toward, we got to make live service, we got to make online. And when that happens, right, you're seeing less and less of this focus on single player story stuff, like that kind of game. And you would hope that the solution to that would be people going, hey, we got people, we got talent, let's make that on our own. But to see something like Callisto Protocol come out and not be a hit, and then, see layoffs happen shortly after that, that's a bummer. You don't want that to happen. And like, I definitely hear the Callisto Protocol wasn't the best, right? Like, I think that had like very middling to not great reviews there. But I would say that that team was a talented team.
Absolutely.
You can't tell me you played Callisto Protocol and went, this team got nothing, right? Like, that game looks incredible visually. That game, I think, has such an excellent atmosphere. And I think there's quite a few gameplay issues it has. But even with those, right, there's something there that worked for Callisto Protocol that I would say, oh, if they got a chance to do a second game, they'll be able to knock it out the park. And I think for me, that's the bummer there, is that we're not necessarily seeing that chance. And maybe we will, right? Maybe they will be able to do that with these layoffs. But it's still a bummer, because I think you can probably draw that direct line between the non-success of Callisto Protocol to people being laid off at the studio, which is a bummer, because you want these kinds of studios to succeed.
Yep.
But hey, it sucks. Tim, very excited to see what the next big Callisto Protocol type game ends up being. But the release of it is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah. Out today, we got Baldur's Gate 3 for PC, A Guidebook of Babel for PC, Stray Gods the Role-Playing Musical for PC, Contraptions 3 for Switch, Flutter Away for PC and Switch, and then the Super Mario Brothers movie on the cock.
It's on the cock, baby.
It's on the cock. Get it on Peacock. New dates for you. Radiant Silvergun is coming to Steam on August 18th. Affogato, isn't that a kind of ice cream? It's set to release this August 17th on Steam. Or coffee? Coffee ice cream. I think that's what affogato is. Mm. Kindoffunny.com says you're wrong if I'm off about that. And then Far World Pioneers sets off to PlayStation 4 and 5 on August 15th.
You know, it's pretty wild to think that those numbers we were talking about with the Mario movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they got those numbers was sales then. Because it's not
streaming
yet. Yeah, it's coming to streaming.
What if it was from all the people pirating it? Nintendo knows. They know. They're in your computer.
It was also available to rent and buy and all that shit, too.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Like, that's how they have that info, because it's sales-based.
Because, like, you would think with all those eyes, oh, surely streaming numbers factor in. And no, like, it just came out on streaming today.
That's going to be a wild.
But also, again, like, Nintendo, they know. It's because you're playing Mario Kart on your Wii. And Splatoon on your Wii.
What?
Is because, like, if you played it on your Wii, they can then hack into your system.
Psycho Mantis?
And now they know. We talked about this yesterday on the show.
It was the Wii U.
Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah. Because all the
especially when you started talking about Splatoon on the Wii, I was really confused.
Sorry, yeah, I should have cleared that. The Wii U, Yeah.
It's easy to get them mixed up, you know?
It's because so many people own the Wii U.
Also, I believe I have this clip ready if you guys want to watch this talking to an animal.
Bring up that clip. So yeah, this person like talks to this animal. It's just a squirrel they find. It's track of a conversation.
A little squirrel.
A little cute little squirrel. Their crew walking up.
This is a lot more focused on the squirrel than I expected it to be.
Again, this is where they get all the cinematics. When they say they had more cinematics than the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they have a lot of cinematics.
Lunges at your foot and bites it.
So the narrator is talking about how the squirrel attacks a person's foot. And they kick it off, and then they roll for dexterity, which is kick the squirrel.
Jesus.
And then they roll. And they roll a 20 on a d20. That's a critical.
Holy shit! Oh my god!
I should have put a content warning, by the way. Anyway, Baldur's Gate 3 is out today, everybody. Go check it out. It's a fun video game. It's a pretty cool video game.
Holy shit, dude.
Don't do that, though, you know?
For audio listeners, they violently kicked the squirrel into a tree. There was a lot of blood.
That was some Mortal Kombat shit. Some absolute Mortal Kombat fatality.
Bless,
shit
right you there. Told me what was going to happen, and I did not expect this.
I didn't expect it. When I saw this on Twitter, I didn't expect it either. That was wild.
Holy shit, I need to see this again. That was... There's so many impacts. Like, the squirrel exploded with the kick, and then it hit the wall. Oh, my Lord. Oh, all right.
If you want to watch the video version to see what that looks like, again, it's kind of violent, and so warning there, but also, it's a fun watch. Deal of the day for you, Undertale is $3 on Steam. Tim, it's time to squad up. Will writes in. kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, my wife and I are getting back into Final Fantasy 14, especially with the Dawn Trail revealed. I guess that's the expansion. With Dawn Trail revealed. And would love to meet new people and join our FC. All levels and classes are welcomed. DM me on Discord. You can add Will on Discord with the username I'm a hippie. That is IMMAHIPPIE. I'm a hippie. All one word on Discord. Go play some Final Fantasy 14. Tim, what do you think an FC is?
An FC. Football club.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Yeah. Joined his football club in Final Fantasy 14. I was going to go with Fantasy Clan, but that sounds, I don't know how I feel about Fantasy Clan.
Like, it seems like a bunch of racist nerds.
I'm glad you said it.
Racist nerds.
People in chat are saying free company. Free company, like a guild. Football club.
Football club. That's a thing, right?
Oh, yeah. No, you know. Okay, it is cool. Football club. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. For AB Productions in chat says that's an FK. People are saying allegedly Splatoon 3 is the fastest selling game of all time in Japan.
There we go.
Yeah, everybody's
saying Animal Crossing felt wrong to me.
Splatoon 3, really?
Yeah, I mean, surprising, but yeah, I guess so.
It's weird.
I'm not a Splatoon person, so I couldn't even speak to it. I'm like, I guess, sure, why not?
Why not?
Bander SN says, Bless was right. Mario U came out in January 2019, and 3D World came out February 2021.
For 2 years.
2 years, yeah. But I think I said 1 or 2 years. AK says, in December 2022, Nintendo announced that Luigi's Mansion 3 had hit 12.44 million units sold.
That's wild, man.
Good for Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion 3 sold more than Resident Evil 2.
God damn. Think about that. Oh, that's wild.
Dead company, Nintendo.
Tundra says, it's important to note that Capcom... Remember when we were all like, Nintendo should go third party. Make games for PlayStation and Xbox.
Remember when we were fucking
stupid? We're idiots.
I mean, well, the reality is, imagine if Mario Kart was everywhere.
Dude, imagine though. God. Imagine how good that game would look on a PS5. It's important to note that Capcom Platinum title lists separate ports in various editions of games, so games have multiple entries in that ranking. So while RE2 Remake is the highest selling RE in terms of an individual release, RE5 and OG RE4 have both sold more if you add up the various versions. Yeah, RE5 is at 13.9, OG RE4 is at 12.8, RE2 Remake is not far behind at 12.6 million.
Yep.
New AJ says, Nachi is a former pop star turned games writer. From the group Perfume. She now runs a gaming column called Natalie.
Good for her.
Called Nachi Wants to Play Games. That's awesome. Could you imagine if...
Let her play.
Could you imagine if...
Let Nachi play.
If Usher was like, I'm done with this music shit. Let me join Kinda Funny and start my own show.
Yeah.
That'd be really neat. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
Hey, that's what
Usher happened. Wants to play games.
IRR Gamer says, Stray Gods, the role-playing musical, is not released today. It's getting a release on August 10th. Thank you for that correction. New AJ says, Afghata... Well,
we said that. We said Stray Gods is out today.
Yeah, it's not out today.
Oh, it's not out today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's out on the 10th. Affogato is an espresso ice cream. Bless you, you're right. Thank you.
Good. I'm proud of you. I didn't have full faith in you.
I know.
You sounded confident, but you also sounded like you were like...
Just saying things?
Yeah.
Listen, I've realized that if I say things with enough confidence,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm not right, people will believe me.
That's it, man.
You're hanging out with Mike too much.
People will believe me.
You need to stop going to those softball
games. You know what I've learned from Mike? Lying is really fun. It's really fun.
God damn it.
Yeah, for you.
Tim, you know I grew up in Italy, right?
Fucking...
It's called storytelling, Mike.
Storytelling.
That's right.
I fucking hate him so much. I hate him so goddamn much.
Grew up in Italy.
Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are going to be Tim and myself.
Oh,
if you're watching this live after the KFG post show, the crew is playing some of that Baldur's Gate 3, and you don't want to miss out on that. This, of course, has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Oh, shit.
We went long in that. I didn't realize how long we were going. Time flies when you're having fun, you know?
It was a fun episode, man. Start talking about Nintendo numbers, and I get rock hard. You know what I mean?
I mean, dude, show me a squirrel getting kicked into a tree.
That was fucking insane.
Yeah, dude. That's the magic of Baldur's Gate 3. That's what you can do in that game. Anything's
you
possible.
You see the squirrel, Mike?
No, I didn't see it, but I'm going to do it. We're going to live
it
today.
Yeah, dude. I can't wait for what you and Andy have planned today.
Yeah, we got our third in here, too. We got a third person. It's going to be a good time.
Is it Nick Scarpino?
We can't tell.
Okay. Ooh. Well, hey, my hopes are
It's going to be a really
high.
Good time. We're excited for that, but of course, I'm excited for another kind of fun Games Daily post-show with my good friends Tim and Bless, where we jump into the news and we answer your burning questions. Of course, if you're watching over on YouTube, you can super chat anytime throughout the show. We'll read those questions off during this super chat segment.
Tim.
And of course, if you're on Twitch, you can hype chat.
Right now, my headline that I've had is Nintendo is on top of the world.
Yeah.
If there's any better headline that comes to your mind, let me know.
Yeah, I like that.
It's hard when there's these sales days.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we're not going to get too much better than that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll stick with it.
First question comes in from El Capitan 22. Hey, guys. How about the Switchback for the next Nintendo console? Also, have you heard of the Nakamichi Dragon, Tim? Nakamichi Dragon, Tim.
I don't know what the Nakamichi Dragon is. One. And okay. Switchback, I
think about the Switchback.
Gotta be honest, I hate it.
No. He hates it.
Worse than the Wii U.
He hates it.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like an accessory.
Yeah.
I saw somebody say, what if they call it the Switch Up? Like,
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think.
It's either you gotta go plain and simple Switch 2.
You're a little loud.
Oh, sorry.
Switch Up.
Oh, you know what it is? Roger talks so quietly that we have to boost him up. Hold on. That. You gotta either go directly Switch 2 or the Super Nintendo
Switch.
Yeah.
See, I feel like that gets into a little bit of a branding problem. Like, I think it worked for the OG Super Nintendo because there were only two consoles back then.
I'm telling y'all right now.
Late on me.
I am still not convinced that they're not going to just make it part of the Switch family and just continue this going. I feel like that makes so much sense for them. And, like, it will be confusing, but I think that they can own that and make the most money from it. Mm. And
it worked for the Wii U.
Well, no, that didn't work. That wasn't.
Oh, it didn't work. It didn't work.
But that's not what I'm saying. That was different, family. Though. That wasn't part of the Wii family.
Oh, so you're talking about, like,
I'm talking more like of a Game Boy to Game Boy Color, Nintendo DS to DSi, DS Lite, like that type
Xbox
of thing.
Xbox Series S and X.
Like, yeah. Switch Plus. Exactly. Yo, yeah. Kind of. Between the two of them. Yeah.
See, I mean, if they're going to do it's what Tim's talking about, Plus. Then I think it'd be like Switch Plus.
Yeah, something. Switch Plus.
But I think it's going to be more. I think if it was that, we'd have more, like, I think you'd be getting more exciting announcements for games. It feels like we're in a winding down period software-wise for Switch.
But see, that's not true, though. Mm-hmm. Like, look at all the games we talked about today.
They're still
finding ports. They're still we have new 2D Mario. We got Metroid Prime 4 coming. Like, there's potential that we have a whole other wave. I don't think that's necessarily happening.
I feel like a Peach game coming in 2024 is like all right, we're starting to close down on this thing.
But, I mean, compare the year to a couple years that we've had of the Switch. Mm-hmm. Like, there has been years that we've had some of those, like, lower, different. I don't even want to call them lower. Just Luigi's Mansion 3. Luigi's Mansion 3 sold 13 sold million copies.
Yeah. I think my other thing, too, is just that the Switch we have now is old. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like just on a technological level or technology level, it's not, it is tough to, like, keep this thing going. Like, I look at games on this thing and I'm like, okay, this is an old device. And I think the quicker you can phase it out completely, the better.
What about that dragon?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's up with that dragon, Tim? We chasing that dragon? The Nakamichi dragon.
I would either go Switch 2 or completely new name.
Switch Plus.
Don't even do Switch. Just a new console name.
Switch Plus.
The Nintendo NX. You know,
you had some sort of hardware. I was expecting some sort of childlike dragon for a Switch video game.
Yeah, no, it's a audio cassette deck.
Okay.
Interesting. It looks cool. I don't know why you sent me this, but I appreciate it.
I have a cassette deck inside of my car.
Yeah?
Yeah, you still be playing tape.
The Rugrats movie soundtrack?
I just put in the tape, you know what I mean? Just get lost in it.
Love that.
The Portland Kevin writes in and says, how about a KF Marvel Snap show where Tim and Bless show off their favorite card variants and share a few stories of epic matches? One-off or monthly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to talk to anybody about Marvel Snap.
He wants to talk to anybody about Marvel Snap.
I mean, I've already slowed down. I was playing. I've just been on a board game and tabletop game kick.
You have been. Yeah. I love that.
Yesterday, I was playing this game called Scythe.
Scythe,
at a different board game cafe that I've never been to in Dogpatch.
Oh.
Yeah. And let me tell
you. You're actively going to a board game cafe, not someone's house.
No, because none of us own Scythe until last night, because my friend Sarah.
Well, yeah, Amazon Prime that thing.
It's like, it was $90.
I'd be buying
$90.
I got a lot of board games.
But Scythe is cool, because Scythe.
I bought a lot of board games.
Scythe is a mech.
How many have you played, Mike?
I've played zero of them. They're all still wrapped in cellophane, and I probably have 32 board games in my
house. Pass them over. I'll take them.
That all cost like $30+ a piece because I was addicted at one point.
One day there might be a party.
One day I might have a friend. Is right. Here we go.
But Scythe is. It might be the most crunchy board game I've ever played. Like, it is complicated.
Crunchy.
Yeah.
Let's talk crunchy and board game. Let's break that down for real people.
Listen, all right, I'm stealing my friend's slang. Let me use it and not exactly fully know what it means. All right, I don't want to be questioned.
Let's pause. All right,
let me get crunchy off. I'm trying to make a thing happen.
Okay, it's crunchy. Right?
This game was streets ahead. All right,
Scythe was crunchy. I dig that.
But no, it was a complex boarding game. Okay. Board game. But it's a mech game.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, you are basically, think like Catan, where you're starting these settlements and you're mm-hmm. trying to get points in a bunch of different ways. You can, like, take over most of the board. You can build a lot of military powers. You have all these different things you're doing to try and expand your community and settlement.
Yeah.
But you get to a certain point where you can place mechs on the field. And these mech models are so fucking cool.
Can you paint
them? So detailed.
Pre-painted and, like, detailed up?
They're not, like,
is it up to you?
They all, they're
like
divided
Warhammer?
By color.
Okay.
It's not one, I wouldn't describe it as Warhammer just because, like, my team color was, like, blue, right? Okay. And so, like, I was blue, my friend was white, my other friend was, like, another color, right? And yeah. So, like, I think you want them to be just plain one color.
Mm-hmm.
You probably could paint them if you want, but it'd probably make the game more difficult. I guess they're all the same, different shapes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if people are painting these things.
Let's rewind. Let's talk about board game night.
Okay.
Okay, you picked Scythe this week.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever played that, or do we learn on the fly there?
Two of us.
Your group level?
There are four of us. Sara had played it, and one of our other friends had played it. Tarek had played it. And here's the thing. This game is so complicated that it took us about 3 hours to play this thing.
Okay.
I didn't understand the rules of the game until, like, the first game was done.
Okay.
By the time we were finishing, I was finally like, okay, I get what this is.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those ones where you have to play all the way through just to learn what the fuck is going on. And then the second and third time you play is like the actual, okay, now we're actually playing this game.
Okay.
And so it's a complex one, even with people who already know how to play that game.
And you went with four deep to this dog patch party?
Four people, yeah. It's a two to five players is this game.
3 hours, you said?
Three hours.
How long was your session? 3 hours?
Three hours, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty dope. It's on the box, it says 115 minutes. Probably around 2 hours.
How many board game bars have you been to now?
Two. Yeah. I do that one in the dog patch, and then there's one in Sunset that I like to go to.
What's the general vibe? What's the aesthetic of it all? Does it look cool? Is it clean? Is it kind of sticky?
Clean, yeah.
Is it a little crunchy?
How do we feel about it? How do
you know
we
what I mean?
Like, it's
crunchy. It's a little crunchy.
It's chilling. It's good. It's like a cafe vibe. Bring in food. Bring in drinks.
You bring your own food?
Well, this place had a pop-up restaurant. Like,
oh,
pop-up.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like, yeah, they had a taco stand right next to it,
that.
And they let you bring food in. And so people were eating as we were playing.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of eating and playing, especially when it's like finger food like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Remember when I licked that controller?
Yeah, you licked that controller hard, Mike. That was insane.
People thought I was going down with a 10 count. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
It's a good time. It's chilled.
Okay. I've told you this before, Bless, but the one you go to in the Sunset is literally next door to the cafe that me and Alfredo ran.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just hilarious.
Cool Greg brought that up because we were talking about it with Cool Greg yesterday. He's like, I think that's the one where Tim and Alfredo did that stand. I'm like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Last week, every month, me and my friends that I grew up with here have a boys' night where one of us chooses what we're doing as an activity, and we went to one of my friend's houses for the first time this week, and we played Night of the Ninja.
Okay.
Board game takes about 15 to 30 minutes a round, and it was like that perfect board game that is simple enough to learn, but you play it the first round, you're like, there's no strategy here, like, what the fuck's the point of this? And then three rounds later, we're all fucking like, I'm gonna goddamn destroy you. And it was just so much fun. I think we played for like 6 hours.
Love that.
Insane. Dude.
So one interesting thing last night, as we were playing, periodically one of the dudes that worked there would like peek over and like kind of check out our game.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, oh yeah, what's up, man? He's like, cool, yeah, you know, just checking out, just seeing what's
up. Gotta peep the sitch.
And after we had this bet, me and my friends were like, yo, what if the people that work there place bets on us based on like who they think is going to win?
Because
they're saying that, like, yo, if you work there, you're doing that and being like, all right, whoever loses has to clean the bathroom.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, that becomes a thing. So that was what we were doing.
Yeah,
but when we finished our game, the dude walks up to us and was like, hey, so like we do this thing on Wednesday nights where we do like these team board game competitions, where it's teams of four, and we had four people, right? Teams of four come in and basically assign people to play games with like different crews.
Yeah.
And so like whoever's group wins the most board games, kind of like, you know, just gets the most points or whatever, Brilliant. Wins yeah, the yeah. competition.
Like a trivia night.
And like yeah. you can have a home game of like, hey, this is the game that your team is bringing to the table.
I love
for
that.
The board game
love
night.
That.
And I'm like, yo, that actually sounds really fun.
Make some new friends.
Dude, yeah.
You should go do that.
That sounds cool. Oh man. I saw this on Instagram ads a couple days ago, and I thought of both of you. There was an advertisement for something in SF that was a board game night singles edition.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Where oh. it's like it's an event that they throw where you go and just play board games with a bunch of single people, and maybe you mingle. You know what
That's
I mean?
Awesome. I mean, the board game cafe, I'll tell Mike this, that is like one of my date spots. If I got a hinge yeah. day, I'm like, oh yeah, let's play board games.
Yeah, but that's great.
So fucking cool.
Yeah, I destroyed that girl in chess, Mike.
yeah, dude, that's what you gotta do.
I destroyed
no
her.
No easy days is what I've been telling people. No easy days.
Oh, man.
Let's keep this going. Mike writes in and says, hashtag Tim is right. ARMS is a good game. I play it with my kids so much. It is amazing. Maybe not, but it's definitely not bad. Nintendo has different audiences.
I love how you couldn't even believe what you
Is
said.
Is it amazing?
No, it's not. Amazing. Mike, well, maybe
no,
not.
No, no, no. Mike read that wrong. He said, Is it amazing? Maybe not.
Oh, what okay. I love the idea of like, it's amazing. Okay, maybe not amazing, no. but like, I like it.
No. Yeah, all I was saying is ARMS is good. Let's just say ARMS is bad. ARMS bad. Is not bad.
Oh, man.
It's bad.
I would say it is. It's good. It's, yeah. it's not quite great, but it's good.
I like that. I like that.
2 out of 5 on the kind of funny scale.
Oh, oh, hell, it is a 3.
It's a 3.
It's a 3 with a 5.
Very passionate 3.
Christopher writes in and says, guys, can we please have a stream or full playthrough of Helldivers 1 before the sequel is out with Greg, Andy, Nick, and Mike? It would be hilarious. We could try. That's going to be just what that would be called is tough because Nick would melt down quickly, and I don't know if we'd make it, but we'll give it a try. We'll
with Helldivers?
Yeah, because you can shoot each other and like you know exactly
would,
where that's
okay,
going to
go. Okay, when you say Nick would melt down,
yeah,
you
yeah.
just mean Nick would lose focus on what he's, yeah, what he's and doing then, and yeah. fuck off all your days. That's content, baby.
CJ writes in and says, Twisted Metal has higher ratings than Secret Invasion. It yeah. feels like the beginning of the live-action gaming adaptation renaissance.
Twisted Metal is better than Secret Invasion.
Damn.
That is a statement I can stand by like mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so easily. Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's crazy, dude. I never would.
Is it though?
If you went back in time 2 years ago and told yourself that was going to happen, because like I was looking forward to Secret Invasion as like a dude, I can't wait. Like fucking, they're gonna show that Tony Stark was a Skrull this entire time. Like I was ready for some wild shit.
Yeah.
And I've not even watched it. I've not even thought about watching it. I started The Bear instead.
Good, that's a better
Bear's
show.
Way better than
better
both.
Show.
Bear's pretty good. It's better pretty good.
Show. Yeah, yeah. Mad Rocks write in and says, made it to Vegas for Evo. Gonna be my first IRL tournament and major. Mainly played online tournaments. Signed up for Street Fighter 6 and Strive. Hyped AF.
Hell yeah. I'm jealous. I wish
best
I wish
luck
I went
for
to
you.
Evo.
Go kick butt. I have some positive news here for Kinda Funny. Thanks to a friend, Cyberbones, I was able to sign us up, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, to be an official co-streaming partner if me and Bless want to go and watch some Evo
Ooh,
this week.
I'd be down to watch some Evo.
So we can watch some Evo. We are cleared to do that from the Evo team.
Love that.
So we're allowed to do that if we would like to do
I
that.
I think Sunday is the finals, right?
Yeah.
I don't have anything going on Sunday.
Something to think about. Oh, you can
do
stream to else. Kinda Funny. So
we'll figure it out.
You got some board games?
Now,
your whole life now?
Some KBBQ.
Ooh. Are you going to, is that spot in Oakland?
No, it's in Japantown.
That would be sick if we put it on the watch out, the chat right there. Put it on the wide. The actual tournament is behind us, so it's like the whole fucking wall, and then two chairs looking this way because we're reacting to it.
Were you here when we did the Creator Clash?
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, man, you missed out.
I'll tell you what, I'm available. I'll probably watch it.
That sounds really fun. I'll I can maybe like that. Around those plans do something.
We'll
talk me
out.
After
we'll
this.
Figure it out.
Somebody
we'll
in chat said, Bless is living. I was thinking about this last night, that I think we've come now far enough through the pandemic, right, where people are so comfortable doing things, that now I overplan, and I need days where I rest. And I'm doing such a bad time of finding rest days. It's become a problem.
No, yesterday, you don't need to rest.
What, 2 days ago I did softball? Yesterday I did a whole board game night.
Good.
Tonight I think we're doing a softball. We're doing a batting
cage. Today we're going to go practice.
Bless your wild, man.
I'm so tired.
Dude, it's happening.
See? Remember when he first moved here? He's like, I moved to a new city and then COVID happened. I never figured this city out. I don't like this city. I want to go back. Now look at you. You're thriving.
You know the moment that your life changes when instead of making plans to do things, you make plans not to do things.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at.
Schedule out when you're not doing something.
Like, I had somebody text me to be like, oh, yeah, do you want to do this thing? And I was like,
you have to weigh it.
Like, do I want to do this thing? Because I haven't rested in a week.
Dude, just I got to ignore their text next like week, I do.
I have 3 plans during nights, and I'm stressed out about this. And they're all things I want to do. Fun movie screener, Benihana with Gary Whitta. I don't know who else is going. Joey? Someone else? It's going to be a good time. Me and you blast up some fun plans?
Yeah. Dude, I'm going axe throwing this weekend.
Be careful.
I'm kind of scared about it, honestly.
It's pretty scary.
I know.
Just chuck that axe. Olive Party writes in, with the birthday tax, anyone at Kinda Funny checking out VR Skater on PSVR 2 dropping tomorrow? I'm stoked. I don't have a PSVR 2.
I've been saying things about VR Skater. I mean, it's just that thing where I'm like, do I even want to get into my VR at this point? Right? I saw the trailer. I'm like, this looks interesting and cool. But also, my other thing with it, too, is that that game looks like it's going to activate my motion sickness. You're grinding all over the place. You're like going. I don't know if I got the stuff for it.
Happy birthday, Olive Party. Thank you for everything that you do. Have a great day.
Happy birthday.
Jay, will the Switch 2 be announced at the Game Awards, Tim?
No.
Just announce it. Let's get this over with.
Get it over with.
King Vin writes in and says, Tim, are you planning to get into Lorcana? We've talked about this.
I am, unfortunately.
The starter decks are available for pre-order right now at Best Buy as of this morning.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that.
Get yourself a deck. 2 more to continue to have some fun. And shout out to Crux117. Shout out to Master Chief out there. For the first super chat, says, hey, Tim, have you heard of and have any interest in the Marvel Champions tabletop card game? Me and my friends play, and it's really fun. Tim? Open up your wallet and buy more card games.
No. I'm trying to be careful with all this stuff. Playing the games is something I haven't gotten into yet. I'm more on the collecting side. I just like collecting. I'm a collector.
Yeah.
I've learned that about myself a long time ago. It's why I never bought a single amiibo. Because I knew if I did, it'd be game over, Mike.
Game over.
I just don't need all that shit.
Yeah.
You know? Cards, there's something soothing about being able to organize and put them in a binder, and then it's good. Then you're done.
I like that.
Somebody in chat said, bless Slurms McKenzie, and I didn't know who that was in a cool search.
Slurms. Slurms McKenzie. Is dope.
This is hilarious.
Yeah, Slurms is out there, man.
Barry knows Slurms
McKenzie. Slurms is out there, man.
Yeah, bro. Futurama's back, everybody. Watch Futurama. Matt Steele with the final super chat of our lovely Thursday edition of this Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show, where I come and answer your burning questions with our 2 Games Daily Show hosts. Matt Steele says, I wish Kinda Funny Golf hadn't died down so quick. That vlog was dope, and y'all have gotten better outside of the studio with audio. Thank you for that kind comment, because I tried really fucking hard with that one. I will say this. Kevin, he hasn't given up the golf dream. Others may have slowed down a lot with golf, but Kevin, every single Friday, still goes to the driving range.
No shit.
And you've got to give him credit for that. He bought those golf clubs, and he is putting them to use. So I'm very proud of Kevin for continuing that. Kind of Funny Golf never dies. Okay, we're just like the waves.
Right,
we just kind of go up.
We got to take one sport at a time,
and then we're gonna play soccer next.
Oh, I can't wait for soccer.
Definitely gonna slide tackle somebody.
We're gonna get
the first kid
so
I don't like. I'm gonna slide tackle so
the
hard.
First kid,
it's
I don't
gonna
like.
Be a great time, everybody. Well, you know what else is gonna be a great time? More Kind of Funny content. We got a whole lot of it coming your way. Right now, I'm going to head over to the lab, and we are going full role-playing mode into Baldur's Gate 3 to celebrate the big day one launch party. It's going to be a ton of fun. You won't want to miss out on that. There are still plenty of shows being recorded in the afternoon. And then guess what? We'll be back for a fun Friday edition of Games Daily and our Twitch stream. Until then, best friends, have a great day.